Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, November 8th, 2020. Opinion. Thank you, Texas veterans, by State Representative Brooks Landgraf. Who do we have to thank for our freedom? While we all agree that all men are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, we also know that life and liberty are things that must be fought for and defended. Our founding fathers had some brilliant ideas, but the Declaration of Independence wouldn't be worth the paper it was written on if Americans weren't also willing to go to war to fight for their freedom. 5,000 Americans died in the Revolutionary War, the war that won us the freedoms we so vigorously defend to this day. Those who returned from the war, those who survived, returned home to their families to form the foundation of a new sovereign nation. They were our first veterans, the original American heroes. For the last 100 years, Americans have celebrated the bravery and sacrifice of our veterans on November 11th. World War I, the war to end all wars, came to an end in November 1918 when an armistice, or temporary ceasefire, between the Allies and Germany went into effect on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. Unfortunately, American soldiers have been called upon to defend our freedoms and way of life many times over the last century. And while there are now no surviving veterans of the First World War, there are around 5 million living veterans in the United States today, almost 70,000 of whom served in World War II. I hope you will join me this week in honoring all U.S. veterans, thanking those who are still among us, and reflecting on those who are not. If you know or are a veteran in need or have questions about opportunities for veterans in Texas, contact the Texas Veterans Commission at 512-463-6564 or visit their website at https://www.tvc.texas.gov. Sadly, many of our veterans and their families are impacted by post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, and tragically, sometimes suicide. That is why I filed House Concurrent Resolution 148 in 2019, which was signed by the governor and designates June as Veteran Suicide and PTSD Awareness Month in Texas. The Texas Veterans Commission offers a crisis line for this reason as well. 1-800-273-8255. Most of our families have at least one veteran, and there are many ways, both large and small, to honor their service to this grateful nation. Thank you, Texas veterans. God bless Texas. Brooks Landgraf. Landgraf serves House District 81, which encompasses Andrews, Ector, Ward, and Winkler counties. Letters to the editor. Local election as dirty as national. This election year has been a very surprising year, to say the least. I think we all knew the presidential election was going to be a crazy, but I never thought our local elections would be just as crazy. It amazes me that there was valid and verifiable information that showed the dirtiness of our current city council, yet citizens, mostly from the east side, I'm sure, voted to keep them in. I guess when you're wealthy, or at least very financially comfortable, tax raises and debt doesn't really matter to you. It's just something you can overlook as long as you're part of the city and your wants continues to get all the attention. It sickens me that our leaders of Odessa can say they have our best interest in mind, yet continue to hurt the citizens of the West, North, and South Side by raising taxes without receiving the same attention as the area where the friends of our leaders that back them, regardless of their indiscretions, that have been exposed. The citizens of Odessa need to wake up and realize The only way this city will change for the better is if we go out and vote for what's right, not for what's expected. Thank goodness we still have a chance with the runoff election, because Dewey and Turner definitely need to be gone. Josiah Vargas, Odessa. Elect Dewey Bryant, mayor of Odessa. A day late and a penny short, but our campaign for Gloria for mayor has reached the silent majority in Odessa. We built momentum and inspired a lot of voters. In our hearts, we won the race. We won the race despite the bashing of the precinct chairs of the Ector County Republican Party. We won the race despite the endorsement of the Ector County Republican Party of the four candidates, Javier Hoven, Denise Swanner, Rachel Miner, and Michael Mata. We won the race by getting a broad spectrum of silent Odessans who understand what is needed and who can help to get that done. I am committed to be part of the team that mobilizes and continues to strive to make our community to be positive and fair for everyone, regardless of who they are. We won despite all the allegations of the ECRP executive board and remained honorable by not dignifying their politics and giving them a platform to expound on their dirty rhetoric. We ran on our merits. The ECRP has given the Republican Party a bad name. They are out of line. They seem to forget that this is a political party that embraces traditional Texas value, diversity. We suggest for Tish Crow to step down. This is not a tenured position. This is not a private club. We want to thank everyone that supported us. There are many to mention, but specifically, the Honorable Tryon Lewis, Jack Ladd Jr., Aris Alvarez, David Llewellyn, Ravi Shakamuri, Dr. and Mrs. Satish Nayak, Dr. and Mrs. Jaram Naidu, Dr. Manohar and Jirakula, Dr. Anand Reddy, Dr. Rajnarsingh Chennamane, Dr. and Mrs. Ramon Domingo, Dr. Pilar Seti Raja, Dr. Usha Kura, Dr. Siam S. Vamulapalli, Dr. and Mrs. Sui, Dr. Nancy Bueno, Dr. and Mrs. John Molland. We are continuing our quest for a better and stronger Odessa by endorsing Dewey Bryant. We will help the city and its government by open dialogue in a much friendlier than adversarial fashion. We are all in this together, and we must work together for the good of the people and the community of Odessa. Thank you. Gloria G. Apollinario, Odessa.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, November 13th, 2020. The opinion page. Opinion extra. Galindo's decision to not contest election was pro-community. For Matt Galindo, I want to congratulate this man from East Midland for taking the road less traveled. I didn't expect Galindo would say he's out. I thought he would contest the election for Midland ISD School Board District 1. Just bowing out is not what people do anymore. There are statements to be made. There are reasons to disrupt. Galindo likely had people telling him to fight the system, throw chaos into the mix, but this man said, "I don't have to prove a point. I just want to be right." And by the way, his stand was pro-community, much less so than dragging the process along. I don't care if the political math says bowing out was the right move, which I believe it was. I am willing to commend a proud man who is probably better than most of us. He is willing to say, "I will still be around. I'll still attempt to make a difference. And winning an office is not required." I believe it. Why? Because he was around before it became politically convenient. He was speaking out when the movement to improve education in Midland was, well, fashionable. If only we had more people like Galindo to win public office and fewer with less honorable mentions. Let me also say this. Galindo wasn't just a guy running for political office in Midland. He has the look of a leader in the Hispanic community. Not because he is Hispanic, but because he is a leader. For literacy program tours, Midland ISD asked the community for its help, and the community answered in a big way. The district told the Reporter-Telegram it was looking for tutors to help with the literacy initiative. It would even pay those tutors $25 an hour. The response was 51 people at the first training session. Way to go, Midlanders. This is a community that cares, Interim Superintendent Ann Dixon said of the reaction. When you ask, they come. Dixon said this week that she had numerous conversations with principals whose students need help. She said one campus alone could use 6 tutors to work with students on their reading. This is a reading initiative, not an initiative to sit a kid in front of a computer. For Carolyn Graves, the Midland County Elections Office had to sit there during a meeting Tuesday night and take question after question and comment after comment because the person who held Graves' office in 2011 and 12, before Graves' immediate predecessor, didn't do her job. I must admit there was a certain irony when one of the school board members, Robert Marquez, lectured and questioned Graves about accountability. I also want to say she and County Attorney Russell Malm represented the county well, answered all the questions, and promised to fix what was broken. For Midlands Foundations, this week we got another reminder of why this community is so fortunate to have such a strong group of foundations to fall back on. The hospital, facing a full-blown COVID crisis, is going to be able to open a 9th floor to house another 48 patients. This floor was tailor-made for patients like those battling the disease because of its negative pressure capabilities. The 9th floor build-out and transformation was made possible by more than $23.12 million in donations from the FMH and Scarborough Foundations. Our community hears so much about what the foundations are doing in Midland that it is easy to take for granted their impact. That shouldn't be the case. Let's celebrate that they made Midland even more unique and more special. And let's not forget to say thank you. For a Division I football game in Midland, if Division I college football teams play a game in Midland and no one attends, did it actually take place? Well, of course it did, but it still seems like a puzzling thing. This week, it was announced that the University of Texas at El Paso will play the University of Alabama at Birmingham on November 20th at Grande Communications Stadium. Fans will not be allowed inside the stadium. I have no problem with that. Right now, it doesn't seem like the best time trying to build up those tourism numbers, especially if those coming in are from the COVID-19 hotbed of the Southwest. The game apparently will be streamed live on ESPN+.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, November 10th, 2020. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, November 10th, 2020. Page 2, read. Family gift to create new welcome center at Museum of the Big Bend. OA Life at OAOA.com. Alpine. Members of Texas Clifton and Shirley Caldwell family have made a generous gift to the capital campaign for the Museum of the Big Bend complex at Sol Ross State University in Alpine. The Caldwells are descendants of the Tippetts, a family who came to the Big Bend in the early 1900s. The donation will create a welcome center at the new entry to the museum complex and will be named in memory of the late Marilyn Ann Caldwell. The Marilyn Ann Caldwell Welcome Center will be the starting place for the Museum of the Big Bend experience, joining the historic museum building with its current expansion. The Welcome Center is a fitting tribute and will act as a bridge between the historic and the new. In 1937, Jack Tippett stood on the steps of the Big Bend Memorial Museum at its original dedication. Nearly 80 years later, the new Welcome Center, named for his great-granddaughter Marilyn, will help visitors to the Museum of the Big Bend see both its storied history and its promising future. Museum Director Mary Bones says, "This most generous gift from the Caldwell family is a beautiful tribute to Marilyn and continues the family's tradition of supporting education and the history of the Big Bend area. The museum is so fortunate to have such wonderful support from our friends and neighbors." Groundbreaking for the Emmett and Miriam McCoy building at the Museum of the Big Bend is scheduled for 2021. To learn more about how you can join this campaign, contact Mary Bones at 432-837-8145 or Mary B., M-A-R-Y-B, at selross.edu. National View, hold federal officials accountable for separating migrant families. The Point, hundreds of these families have now endured years apart. America can and must do better. The needless trauma inflicted on children in President Donald Trump's immigration crackdown remains alive. Court-appointed advocates cannot find the parents. Still, for 545 children taken away from their families in 2017 and 2018, that includes about 60 who were under age 5 when forcibly separated. That's years of growing, learning, and loving missed out on forever. That's a tragedy that must remain in this nation's consciousness. Those responsible must be held accountable. Trump has tried to obfuscate the cruelty of the decision to separate families to deter migration. Information that trickled out for more than 2 years makes the harm and its cause clear. An October court filing by American Civil Liberties Union lawyers shows why a full reckoning is overdue. Amid a pandemic and widespread violence in Central America and Mexico, court-appointed researchers are relying on incomplete federal records to search remote areas for missing parents. The separations began in 2017 around El Paso. A secret Department of Homeland Security pilot program there took 1,500 children away from parents attempting to migrate to the U.S. When families crossed the border, the parents were detained for official proceedings. The children were spirited off to migrant shelters. Trump officials expanded it to a full zero-tolerance policy in May 2018. More than 2,700 children were taken into federal custody in that expansion. Weeks later, a federal judge ordered those families reunited. But in January 2019, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Inspector General revealed the separations were more extensive than the ruling. Further investigations found more than 5,500 children had been separated. Hundreds of these families have now endured years apart. Deported parents were forced to choose between taking their children back to dangerous countries or permitting the government to assign them to, quote, sponsors, usually relatives or family friends, in America. That's the limbo the 545 children went into. Federal officials said they were with sponsors in 2018 when the judge ordered children in custody reunited with their families. Today, advocates can only definitively say that 183 of the children are still in the U.S. Contact information is no longer valid for sponsors for the other 362. So even if their parents turn up and want the children back, they cannot easily be reunited. The consequences resonate across the hemisphere. A father and son from Guatemala, now living in Seattle, sued in federal court October 15th over their ordeal, alleging that the father was tricked into a deportation flight from Texas after officials told him he'd get to see his son. The son, a teenager, was being held in a New York State shelter where he alleges sexual abuse. They were kept separate for 9 months, said attorney Matt Adams of the Northwest Immigrant Rights Project. 4 more families are working with the agency toward filing similar cases, he said. We should never forget that at the end of the day, these are still human beings, Adams said. Shoving aside human rights to send a political message puts us in history right in line with the worst offenders of human rights. America can and must do better. The Seattle Times. Saul Ross basketball player named Basketball Times Division III preseason All-American. OA Life at OAOA.com. Alpine. Saul Ross men's basketball player Tristan Leacone has been named a Division III preseason All-American by Basketball Times. The graduate student, but senior on the court, was the 2020 ASC West Division Player of the Year. It's a huge blessing to be recognized for this preseason honor, Lee Holmes said. To be able to put my name and this school on a national level is a great feeling as we prepare for the season. He averaged 19.3 points per game with 5.5 rebounds, 80 assists, and 53 steals while leading the Lobos to a West Division title in the ASC in 2019-2020. He was also a D3Hoops.com and NABC All-Region selection. During the 2019-2020 season, Lee Cohn surpassed the 1,000-point mark in his Sil Ross career, joining only six other players to reach the milestone at the time. Teammate B.J. Hollis joined Lee Cohn the same season to become the eighth. Lee Cohn is also a three-time ASC All-Conference selection and a six-time ASC West Player of the Week for his career.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Wednesday, November 11, 2020. Health and Wellness. Specially trained nurses guide sexual assault victims. Dana Taylor, Midland Health. Midland Health is proud to provide services to sexual assault victims in West Texas and the surrounding areas. While Me Too and Save Our Children movements recently have brought the problem of sexual assault and human sex trafficking into the spotlight, the sexual assault nurse examiners, SANE, at Midland Health have been working with victims of these crimes for over 20 years. SANEs are especially trained to provide comprehensive care to victims of sexual assault and their families. Midland Health currently has four certified sexual assault nurse examiners and one in training. These nurses work with law enforcement and the Midland Rape Crisis Center to provide care and support to the victims and their families. Our nurses perform an average of 200 exams per year. In addition, SANEs are required to complete continuing education on the newest research and evidence-based practice standards for recertification every 2 years. The Midland Health SANEs provide collaborative working relationships with many other counties in Texas that do not have certified sexual assault nurse examiners available. Our nurses take calls 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Midland Health SANEs have assisted other agencies to provide care for victims from all over the country. In addition, these nurses from Midland Health have been called to travel to these areas to provide expert testimony in a court of law on behalf of the victim and the case. Victims and families benefit from their expertise as they proceed through the tough and often emotional journey of sexual assault. Sexual assault nurse examiners are specialized to deal with the many facets of care that are needed for the victims and their families as they go through the entire process from investigation to court as expert witnesses. Midland and the surrounding counties are fortunate to have these services available to victims and families through these trying times and into recovery. Dana Taylor is Director of Emergency Services for Midland Health. Wear your mask. Kit Bredemus, Chief Nursing Officer at Midland Memorial Hospital, shows how to wear a homemade mask during the Unified Command Team press conference April 7 outside the Midland County Annex Building. He appeared before the City Council Monday morning to ask members and Mayor Patrick Payton to take a clear and unequivocal stance on the use of masks and other minimum standard health protocols. MMH's Bredemus pleads with Council to take clear stance on use of masks. Editor's note, this was posted on Facebook Monday morning. The Reporter Telegram is publishing the post with the permission of the writer. By Heather Hughes Bredemus. My husband, Dr. Kit Bredemus, CNO of Midland Memorial Hospital, spoke at the City Council meeting this morning about the state of our hospital and the health of our community. Please read his speech below. Thank you, Mayor and City Council, for this opportunity. I would also like to thank you for your support in expanding our testing capability. My name is Dr. Kit Bredemus, and I am the Chief Nursing Officer at Midland Memorial Hospital. Having grown up in Midland, I have seen this community go through some pretty significant events. I have been on the front lines as an emergency room nurse for over a decade. In that time, I have been through the swine flu, SARS, Ebola, as well as every other disaster to hit our city. what we are experiencing now with COVID-19 is unlike anything I have ever seen. Since the onset of COVID, we have had to request over 100 outside nurses to help battle this problem, and an additional 40 nurses requested from the state and federal agencies. If it were not for the state sending in disaster resources, we would have already been forced to shut down many critical operations this community depends on. Today, we have 81 COVID patients in the hospital. We only have 14 invasive ventilators left for use. This week, we are opening a new floor to try to accommodate more and more of our own patients. Less than 18% of our COVID population is from out of county, and that number is declining as we have been closed to various transfers for weeks. Our testing was over 30% positivity rate last week, a significant increase from the prior week. Our COVID hospitalization rate is hovering around 30%, double what is considered a high hospitalization rate. We are desperately trying to source enough equipment and personnel to expand beyond our capacity. I am continually amazed by my team's resilience and adaptability, but we need your help. I am here today to implore the City Council and the Mayor to take a clear and unequivocal stance on the use of masks and other minimum standard health protocols recommended by the Texas Department of State Health Services. Furthermore, I strongly encourage the City Council and the Mayor to put measures in place that, if followed, have been proven to significantly reduce the spread of this virus. I want to make it clear that we healthcare workers are no longer the front lines. We are the last line. The front lines now belong to the community. While the call for personal responsibility has been recommended by Mayor Payton, we are at the mercy of those who choose not to take responsibility. Encouraging responsibility is not working. I continue to see many people in this city blatantly disregard the governor's order to wear masks, social distance, and avoid crowds. What is a minor inconvenience for many is potentially life-saving, as roughly half of COVID transmission is thought to come from asymptomatic individuals. This is not a political issue or a matter of opinion. I am sounding the alarm right now that our healthcare system is becoming overwhelmed and we are on the same course as El Paso and other hotspots. Even if you are not hospitalized for COVID, this will affect you. Surgeries are being canceled. New moms and babies are not able to have family by their side. If you are in a car accident, have a heart attack, or need to be sent to a higher level of care, every ICU across this region and southern New Mexico is full, including ours. I had to listen from 1,000 miles away as nurses updated me on my mom's deteriorating condition due to COVID. My uncle, who lived in the same house, died just the day before from sudden respiratory failure, but they would not test for COVID postmortem due to limited testing supplies. I am thankful that my mom survived her ICU stay, but I have had to speak to several families in our area who were not as fortunate. The hospital is doing all it can at this point, and the only thing to change the trajectory of this outbreak are the attitudes and behaviors of our city and this council. I am asking all of you to come out with a full-throat endorsement of the governor's executive order for minimum standard health protocols, including required use of masks. I would like to add that our highest number of COVID patients hit its peak this weekend at 72. By this morning, that number rose to 81, and this evening we hit a new record, with numbers continuing to rise. Less than 12% of those came from out of county. To be clear, the out of county patients are not hospital transfers. They are residents from smaller towns surrounding the Permian Basin, desperate for help with no available health care in their area, who drove to MMH. Anyone who walks through our hospital doors cannot be denied health care. The hospital and our health care workers are struggling like never before. Our resources are depleting rapidly with no sign of when additional resources will arrive. Our family members and friends will soon be shipped across the state when we are no longer able to meet the need. If other counties cannot accept our transfers, patients will soon be sharing rooms, some without a monitor. The situation is dire. Kid Bredemus and I are asking all of you to take caution. Wear a mask. Social distance. Wash your hands. Do not attend to crowded venues. Ask businesses to enforce masking. Reach out to your city council representative and Mayor Payton and ask them to enforce the governor's executive order requiring the use of masks. Unfortunately, the future of our city's healthcare is at the mercy of those who refuse to take personal responsibility. We need local officials to help enforce health protocols that will keep us safe. Please share this post with your family, friends, and district representatives. Vaccine is a strong tool to protect against flu, by Drs. John Hellerstedt and Diana L. Feit. 2020 has been a hard year. The COVID-19 pandemic has killed our loved ones, made many Texans sick, and upended our lives. Now we're facing another big threat, flu season. Each year in the United States, the influenza virus kills or hospitalizes thousands of people and makes millions sick. Our physicians and other healthcare professionals remain busy caring for COVID-19 patients. They don't want to start seeing lots of flu patients, too. That could stretch our healthcare system to the breaking point. Doctors want you to get the care you need, when you need it. You have the power to prevent the flu. The same actions we use to fight COVID-19 also fight the flu. Wear a mask, wash your hands, cover coughs and sneezes, stay home when you're sick, and keep at least 6 feet away from people you don't live with. Luckily, we already have a strong tool to help protect us from the flu, the influenza vaccine, or flu shot. This year, more than ever, it is important to get a flu vaccine to protect yourself, your family, and your community. A flu shot lowers your risk of getting sick, going to the hospital, and dying from flu. It's recommended for everyone over the age of 6 months. We want you to protect yourself against the flu because we've seen how devastating it can be. Thanks to the flu shot, close to 58,000 people avoided having to go to the hospital during the 2018-2019 flu season. Thanks to the flu shot, about 2 out of every 5 older adults won't have to be hospitalized because of the flu. Thanks to the flu shot, 3 out of 4 children could avoid a stay in a hospital intensive care unit. 8 in 10 adults could avoid the ICU by getting a flu shot, too. If you do get sick, the flu vaccine helps make your symptoms milder and helps you recover faster. That's especially important if you are a parent or caregiver of older family members. Seeing the people we love suffer from a disease like the flu is hard. It's even harder when you are too sick to care for them. The flu is most dangerous for people who are elderly or living with chronic health conditions like heart or lung disease and diabetes. People with underlying health conditions should get a flu shot as soon as possible so they can stay healthy. Pregnancy also can increase the risk of flu complications. The flu shot is safe for pregnant women. It lowers their risk of flu illness and hospitalization by as much as 40%. Plus, when a pregnant woman gets a flu shot, her baby will be protected from the flu for several months after birth. Talk with your doctor about any questions or concerns you might have about the flu shot. Many places in Texas offer free or low-cost flu shots, whether you have health insurance or not. Texas Vaccines for Children and the Adult Safety Net Program have vaccines available for people who are uninsured or underinsured. You can also dial 211 to find out where to get a flu shot in your community or visit 211texas.org or vaccinefinder.org. Please encourage your family, friends, co-workers, and everyone you know to get a flu shot. Ways to spread the word are on texasflu.org. Together, we can create a healthier and safer Texas. Dr. John Hellerstedt is a commissioner with the Texas Department of State Health Services, and Dr. Diana L. Feit is president of the Texas Medical Association. It's important to visit family doctor regularly. Dr. Martin Ortega, Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. The old adage goes, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. And while it certainly should be our primary goal to eat nutritiously and exercise regularly, many times avoiding healthcare services works against us, not for us. The mission of Texas Tech Physicians Family Medicine is to serve as the primary contact for your health concerns throughout every stage of life. In this way, a family doctor becomes your primary care physician, PCP, whose specialty is you. Here are 3 reasons to make and keep regular visits with your primary care doctor. Comprehensive care. When visits are sporadic, it is easy to focus on a single question that concerns you while forgetting other health items that are vitally important to discuss. The more your family doctor gets to know you, the better he or she understands your medical, family, and social history and your personal health needs and goals. This helps family physicians advise you better, monitor for changes, and more effectively assist. Because family physicians receive broad training, they are able to diagnose and treat a multitude of conditions or help you find the right fit when you need a specialist. Better communication. It has happened to all of us. As soon as you leave the doctor's office, you remember something you wish you would have brought up. Or you get test results and want additional clarification or context. Follow-up visits keep the lines of communication open and these important conversations going. Preventive services. Preventive healthcare services like screening tests, vaccines, and wellness exams can be a hard sell for many people because we often feel other matters are more pressing. However, it's important to remember another old axiom: an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Preventive healthcare services are proactive rather than reactive and are targeted at intervening before disease occurs, primary prevention, detecting and treating disease at an early stage, secondary prevention, or managing disease to slow or stop its progression, tertiary prevention. If you have insurance, you already may be paying for coverage for these services. If you do not have insurance, your PCP can help you find and enroll in special programs that may be able to help you. Whether it is to check in to ensure you're on track or you have a specific symptom or concern, visiting with your family physician regularly is an important part of getting or staying healthy. At Texas Tech Family Medicine, our team is comprised of extremely knowledgeable and friendly physicians and staff who take pride in helping you every step of the way. And now, making regular visits with a family physician is easier than ever with in-person and telemedicine options. Dr. Martin Ortega is with the Department of Family Medicine at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center.
This is Connie reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, November 11th, 2020. Odessa author writes religious nonfiction book, OA Life at OAOA.com. The author chronicles the impact of the Lakota Sundance ceremony on his life over the course of 15 years. Anatomy of Sundance, One Man's Perspective, a new book by Chief Lewis Tigerian Wingwang Wasipi, has been released by Dorrance Publishing Company, Incorporated. The Lakota Sundance Ceremony is a ceremony of self-sacrifice and a road to a better understanding of oneself. On this journey, author Chief Lewis Tigerina, a.k.a. Watching Wolf, became not only adult in the physical sense, but matured as a spiritual being. Experienced through his intimate memoir of the 15 years that he danced, how he came to understand himself in a spiritual way that took him away from a drug and alcohol addiction that had plagued him for many years of his young life. In walking this red road, Tigerina not only found the inner strength to let the drugs and alcohol go overnight, but became a leader of his community and became a chief in the Trans-Pecos region of Texas. His story is one of courage and strength and may just help you on your journey to finding your own inner strength as well. Over the years, Tigerina, Watching Wolf, as he has come to be known by his friends and spiritual seekers, opened his home for sweat ceremonies and prayer, and he opened up his life showing all who wanted to learn the way of walking the red road. He invited them to search themselves to see the vision of what their life was supposed to be and walk the Sundance Road as well. Now in his 60s, this published author regales you with his recounting of a marvelous and exciting journey that took him to sobriety. Although a hard road, it was one that had to happen for him. Chief Lewis Tigerini, a.k.a. Watching Wolf, shares his life-changing experiences with you in a way only he can. Join him on his walk of literally shedding blood, sweat, and tears. Visit the website bookstore.dorrancepublishing.com. Native Plant Society of Texas recognizes Sol Ross authors for the fifth time. OA Life at OAOA.com. Alpine. The authors of the flowering plants of the Trans-Pecos and adjacent areas have been awarded the 2020 Correll Award by the Native Plant Society of Texas. This is the fifth Correll Award A. Michael Powell has received for his collection of work, including books on the trees and shrubs, cacti, grasses, and ferns of this region. Powell and his field assistant of 46 years, Shirley Powell, and numerous others spent 20 years accumulating the information and photographs that became the flowering plants, and the enormity of the undertaking is evident in the heft of the book alone. The biologically diverse Trans-Pecos covers an area about the size of South Carolina and includes the mountains and deserts found west of the Pecos River in the northern Chihuahua Desert region. Almost 45% of the plants known in the state of Texas are found in the Trans-Pecos, and over 2,000 flowering species of these plants are treated in this book. The authors of the book compiled a great deal of information utilizing the plant specimens housed in room 103 of the Warnock Science Building, the A. Michael Powell Herbarium. This herbarium was initially developed in 1927 with around 400 plant specimens and now houses over 100,000 and occupies the entire wing of the basement. This collection of plant specimens at SRSU, which focuses on the flora of the Trans-Pecos, is uniquely organized geographically as an incredible boon to anyone exploring its cabinets of pressed plants. The herbarium is an incredible regional resource that is available to and utilized by researchers all over the world across a wide range of disciplines. This collection, which is curated by Powell, is also a valuable teaching resource for undergraduate and graduate students and any professors dealing with the natural sciences.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, November 12th, 2020. Page 2, read. MOSC names Wills as executive director. OA News at OAOA.com. The Midland-Odessa Symphony and Chorale Board of Directors announced Wednesday morning that Ethan Wills has been appointed the program's executive director. Wills has reportedly served as interim executive director since July. The decision was based on Ethan's passion for local arts, drive to expand music education locally, and strong leadership shown over the past few months, MOSC's board president Patrick Canty stated in a news release. The board of directors feel he is an excellent fit for MOSC. Wills will continue overseeing the staff, musicians, and financial resources of MOSC. Before joining MOSC, Wills had a successful career as a freelance musician and music educator. He is in the process of completing his PhD in Fine Arts Administration at Texas Tech University. Wills also has degrees in music education and music performance. I am very humbled to accept the position as executive director. COVID-19 has presented many challenges for us and all arts organizations nationwide, Wills stated in the press release. MOSC will do its best to move forward in a positive and safe direction to enhance the deeply rooted foundation we have in our community. I am thankful to be part of an organization with a rich history and sound structure, and I am ready to do the hard work to usher in a brighter future. UTPB offering scholarship. OA News at OAOA.com. Anyone who registers and attends one of the University of Texas Permian Basin's upcoming Falcon Days, either in person or online, or takes an official campus tour, will be entered to win a $10,000 scholarship. A lot of students are trying to decide where to go to college next year, but we know a lot of students are also trying to decide whether to go to college, said Vice President of Enrollment Management P.J. Wilston. Many of them are concerned about cost and whether they can afford it. We have so many opportunities for financial support. Falcon Days gives us a chance to explain that and show students how accessible college can be. The winner of the $10,000 scholarship will be selected by random drawing after the February 27, 2021 Falcon Day. The next Falcon Day on November 14th will have a new hybrid format. Part of the event will be virtual and the other part will be held on campus. Falcon Day will start at 11 a.m. Saturday with a live virtual event. During this time, prospective students will hear from President Sandra Woodley, current students, staff, and faculty about all the things UT Permian Basin has to offer. There will be experts on hand to answer any questions throughout the presentation or during the Q&A session. Then Falcon Day participants will be invited to visit the campus for self-guided tours. The university will have staff at each building that can answer questions. To be eligible, students must register to attend the event in advance. On the net, utpb.edu.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Inflamed esophagus. Dear Dr. Roach, my brother is 65 years old and was spitting up when eating. He went for an endoscopy yesterday and was diagnosed with grade 3 esophagitis. He has been drinking 5 glasses of wine daily for years. Did this cause his problem? He said he will stop drinking wine and drink some other less acidic alcohol. What is esophagitis and what can he do to get better? GG. Answer. Esophagitis is inflammation of the esophagus, which has many possible causes. The most likely cause, just from total numbers, is reflux esophagitis. That is caused by stomach contents and acid going backward from the stomach into the esophagus. The acid causes chemical damage to the esophagus. The fact that your brother has been spitting up, that is, having food contents coming all the way back to the mouth, is strong evidence of esophageal reflux. 5 glasses of wine a day is too much for many body systems. He needs to reduce his drinking for his health. I suspect reducing alcohol will help his esophagitis, but it is critical for many other organs, including the liver, brain, bone marrow, and heart.
Health emergency reveals new questions about relationship. Dear Abby for Sunday. Dear Abby, I have been dating Carl for 5 years. We live separately. I thought our relationship was pretty solid until a recent health scare. A few days ago, I had a severe allergic reaction to something I ate at dinner. When I realized how serious it was, I immediately rushed to the ER. I had taken an antihistamine instead of calling the paramedics. I quickly messaged Carl that I was having a medical emergency. The doctor said these reactions can be fatal and will become increasingly worse after each reaction. Carl was working and said he couldn't leave work. He didn't make sure I got home safely or even come to the house later to check on me. When I asked him for help picking up the many meds I needed the next morning, he again said he was working. I was furious and did it myself, although I shouldn't have been driving. I know I'm emotional due to meds and trauma. Am I overreacting? Disappointed in Oregon. Dear disappointed, you're not overreacting. You were fortunate to have made it to the emergency room because you could have died on the way. Carl's reaction to your crisis was incredibly callous. Please think very carefully about a future with this person because he isn't going to change. Start compiling a list of people you can depend upon should the need arise. Carl definitely isn't one. If you were counting on him to be your life partner, change your mind now, because if you don't, it could cost you your life. Dear Abby, when I was a kid, I was called a chatterbox, and it continued until my mid-30s. Somewhere I came across the saying that it's better to be silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. It made sense to me, so I shut up. Now I'm close to retirement, and people complain that I don't talk enough. I detest social gatherings where I must make polite conversation with people I don't know, and with people I do know, I'm afraid of saying too much. Any recommendations? Former Chatterbox in Pennsylvania. Dear former Chatterbox, conversation isn't supposed to be a monologue. It is supposed to be a dialogue, an exchange of information. If you find yourself dominating a conversation, pause, ask questions, and listen to the answers. For those who say you don't hold up your end, consider making a list in advance of topics you consider safe, excluding sex, politics, and religion, and refer to it if you feel stuck. And if you don't know how to begin, lead off with a compliment. Dear Abby, I am engaged to a wonderful man I'll call Jesse, who loves my daughter and me. However, one of my brothers seems not to be happy for me. Because of this, Jesse doesn't want to invite him to our wedding, but I'm worried about how excluding him will affect my family. Any advice you could give would be greatly appreciated. Melancholy in Montana. Dear Melancholy, you and Jesse need to discuss this further. I don't know what your brother's reservations are concerning your fiancé, but unless his presence would be disruptive, he should not be excluded. If you do what Jesse has in mind, it will cause a rift that could last for decades. Invite your brother, and it will then be up to him whether he attends. Write Dear Abby at DearAbby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California 90069.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label that astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Scorpio and a moon in Libra until 11:19 a.m., when the moon enters Scorpio. Happy birthday for Friday, November 13, 2020. Perceptive, passionate, and realist, you succeed in advancing a cause dear to your heart this year. Your career is in a brilliant stage in 2021, and while you antagonize a few, you win others. If single, love bonds are in flux. It's not the year to force commitments or promises from either side. If attached, your committed partnership reaches a turning point. Cancer is in it for the long haul. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 3 stars. Be wary of advice that contradicts your better judgment regarding money. Be patient if negotiating a pay raise. Employ humor and perspective if anger builds around a financial issue. You will feel the presence of an old soul around you. Tonight, write in your journal. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 5 stars. Your sector of justice and balance is highlighted. Today promises surprise announcements from others. Get both sides of every story. Weigh all issues with care and attention to detail. Be receptive to invitations, especially from gifted, attractive people coming into your life. Tonight, celebrate. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 4 stars. Animal companions may require extra understanding. Before adopting a new pet, ask yourself whether it will be suitable. This cycle also brings an urge for greater organization and cleanliness among disorder. Tonight, patiently organize one area at a time. Try sound and color healing. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 2 stars. The attention you put into an intimate relationship results in an important choice regarding love. A child can need extra attention. The efforts you make now can favorably impact a young person's whole future. Make time. Tonight, sitting with a beautiful film or book. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 5 stars. Today brings a benign influence in your home and family sector. Situations regarding family members grow more relaxed. A new relationship or interesting avocation adds sparkle. Share your ideas. The support of someone you admire can propel you forward. Tonight, nice and slow. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 2 stars. Today, complacency bores you. Involvements tend to begin on a high note, then fizzle as you lose interest. You are tempted by fiery and complex relationships. A change of heart is very likely. Be prepared. Avoid hasty decisions. Tonight, answer emails and calls promptly. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. Be careful of risky ventures suggested by others. If something sounds too good to be true, back off. Your own instincts are the most trustworthy now. You are rewarded for faithfully following your work ethic and building assets slowly over time. Tonight, get in touch with a sibling or cousin. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 5 stars. Great depth, courage, and endurance are present in this sensitive water sign. Today your energy level is high, which makes it easier to get things done. You breathe a sigh of relief. There's peace and pleasure in tying up loose ends. Tonight, a friendship strengthens. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 4 stars. You will shy away from conflict today. Release old resentments. Dreams can hold valuable clues to wellness. Sound and color therapies can be very helpful. Pay attention to animal companions, as one of them needs some extra tender, loving care. Tonight, putting on that TLC. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. Today brings a warm, fuzzy influence. You'll be talkative and curious. Your social circle expands to include new interesting people. New goals have an appeal. Cobwebs of confusion that have hovered for more than a decade are suddenly brushed away. Tonight, relaxing. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 5 stars. A new residence or career path is possible. Family dynamics are shifting, as is the balance of power in your professional life. This can attract extra recognition. Hosting an online party for coworkers is a great option. Tonight, an online meeting opens a new door. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 5 stars. Today's influences give you greater vitality and clarity of thought. Enjoy this time of progress and accomplishment. A friendship with a foreign-born or very intellectual friend can lead to romance. Tonight, a hunch or creative idea can help solve a dilemma. Born today, writer Robert Louis Stevenson, 1850, actress Whoopi Goldberg, 1955, comedian Jimmy Kimmel, 1967.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.